Well, we're going through our Baptist distinctives, or what we believe, and we've gotten to distinctive number 6. And we're going to see this evening here, and we'll go ahead and just read our text here, and then hopefully we'll get up to date here. Romans 13, did I tell you that? I did, okay. Number 1, notice that. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is, notice this, no power but of God. That's wonderful to memorize. The powers that be are ordained by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger of, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. All right. Now, you see there, we're going to look at something tonight that's called the soul liberty or freedom of conscience. Another way to put it that some people refer to is separation of church and state. And you know that. I know all of you believe that. But it's good to remember and be reminded of why we do believe that. All right, now notice there in your note, says there are many cults working today in our communities peddling their pernicious propaganda. You like those P words I got there? Which is clearly deceiving people. Young people, adults are being led away from God, their families, and their friends into the night of spiritual darkness. If you've ever been bothered by some of these outlandish cults, you may have considered trying to get a law passed against such activities. Cults like the one led by Jim Jones, whose freakish philosophy of religion led to the Jonestown massacre of nearly 1,000 people, would probably be on that list. Why not then make laws against such groups? Well, the answer is very simple. We who hold the Bible as our only sufficient rule of faith and practice do not believe that God has given to the civil government the authority to pass laws respecting how a person worships or who that person worships or if that person worships at all. We believe that God has reserved that right to himself alone. We believe that God has given each individual the responsibility to choose. He commands us to worship him and prescribes how that worship is to be done, but allows us to choose. He does not give any man the authority to force anyone in matters of worship. Therefore, though we oppose all opposing beliefs with all that is in us, we believe that everyone has a right to hold their beliefs, no matter how far out they might be. Because we believe this, we are willing to defend that right of others and demand that right for ourselves. Okay, so again, just talking about that tonight, looking at that, we have that belief. We don't believe and obviously follow everything these other cults and you could say denominations do. Not referring to us as a cult, but these other denominations believe, but that we hold to this, as we're going to see it in a minute, the First Amendment to our Constitution, that we have the right to worship freely and without the infringement of the government. Okay, so it's very simple, right? How are we doing? We good? We're good to go. Okay, this belief tonight, if you didn't catch it, we're looking at our distinctive 6, soul, liberty, freedom of conscience, or what we call separation of church and state. Okay, Romans 13 we're in. Now, notice there the third paragraph. This belief has become a distinguishing mark of Baptists. Simply defined, it comes down to a belief in separation of church and state. This means that civil government has no right to establish any one church as the state church and demand that everyone belong to it. Now, I say that because coming very soon to a city near you, the Antichrist is going to do what, as we studied? Establish a one world order and a one world religion. He's going to bring us all together. Okay? That's why, again, we've already gone through it, but we don't believe in what's called ecumenicalism, where we blend all religions together. Sounds good on paper, but it's not going to happen. Okay? We have to be very careful. Distinctions are there. Okay? Delineating and following that and all of those things, must be very careful. He's going to bring together a one world religion. Now, case in point, here's a good point. Go back to about the 1500s and you have a man by the name of Henry VIII. How many remember Henry VIII? Henry VIII, I am. Okay, what happened, Abigail? Do you remember? He wanted to divorce his wife and marry who? Do you remember? Oh, yeah, okay, she got Anne Boleyn. You did remember your high school or maybe middle school? And so anyways, he said, I want a divorce. And the Pope comes at that time. Everyone was Roman Catholic. What did the Pope say? Absolutely not. We do not allow divorce, which is a good thing. But he said, no way. And the king says what? You don't tell me what to do. I'm the king. So what does he do? He divorces his wife, marries his mistress. And then in order to keep everything under wraps and cool so the whole society doesn't raise up and kill him, he says what? Don't worry, everyone. I've created my own church, the Church of England, which is still very, a lot of it, remnant of it. They've changed a little bit what they believe in such, but a lot of it's still the same. And so he says, I create my own church. Now, what's he call it? The state church. You follow the state church. One missionary was telling me, missionary to Germany, he said, when you get there and you register your children for the schools, you have to go and register them, you have to put down that you are registering not only with the school system and other things, but also with the state church, which is predominantly Catholic. And you think about some of that, I don't know how it's changed in recent days, but that's exactly what and why we believe in separation of church and state, okay? Now, we think about this, now continue now in about that fourth paragraph, Baptists were instrumental in getting the First Amendment to our U.S. Constitution, worded the way it is. Some wanted to a state church, pardon the typo there, some wanted four state churches. Baptists opposed this. There was a time in Holland when the king wanted to make Baptists the state church and they refused to allow it. So isn't that interesting? Hey, let's just make Baptists the state church. What's wrong with that? They said, no way. Why? It's against the word of God. We have to be very careful about that. Now, the Baptists enlisted then the help of Patrick Henry, you remember him, to speak for them to the Continental Congress on this matter. Patrick Henry, notice, was an outspoken champion of liberty for all. He was not a Baptist. But it is stated of him that he said this, a deep religious faith tempered with a tolerance of the beliefs of others. He is quoted as saying that religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it, can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. Therefore, all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience, and that it is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, charity towards each other. Okay. He also said, though, notice, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And amen, right? We didn't come over searching for another church. Our forefathers came over what? Because they wanted to worship freely without the established church meddling with all that they do. In case in point, again, a man by the name of John Bunyan. Remember, he wrote the phenomenal book of Pilgrim's Progress and other books. Maybe you've read before. The Holy War is another book. Fantastic Christian literature. But he wrote those books. He was put into prison because he wouldn't take a permit from the state to preach. Some people said, what's the big deal? Just sign the document. You can keep preaching. He said, no, I know, because if I do, then they'll tell me what to preach. And they'll say, no, you can't preach against abortion. You can't preach against LGBTQ, right? We're seeing that today. And a great point, another example, I guess you could say, was just recently with the pandemic. You had sheriff deputies standing in front of the church doors and saying, you cannot meet together. You can't do it. And it really brought to light those that were real serious about the church and those that were not. But anyways, let's notice here. Notice the First Amendment to our Constitution. Article 1 states this, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay, if you've studied that, you understand what he's talking about again. Now, it means that everyone is to have freedom of religion to worship God or not worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, without interference or coercion from any outside human source, especially from the state. Now, again, parenthetical here, notice, we must know this does not mean freedom from religion. There's no such thing. Everyone is religious. Religion simply means one's attitude and actions toward God. No one is exempt. We all have an attitude toward God and act accordingly. As I pass these out, I try to. I'm not very good at it. I'm really trying to push myself to do that. I try to keep them in my pocket or something because I always forget them. But if I do, I say, hey, can I invite you to church? And what's the number one thing they say? Oh, I'm not religious. And I say, well, you can't just come out and say, well, yes, you are. You have a religion. It's your attitude towards God. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, you have an attitude towards God. That's your religion. But that's what they say. And we have to be careful. But we follow through with this. Now notice the last paragraph. It does not mean, as some seem to believe today, that anyone in the government cannot also be active in a church, or that anyone in the church cannot be or have a definite voice in the affairs of the state. It simply means the state cannot dictate anyone in spiritual matters. Okay, now you understand that. Flip it over. Let's study this back page here, and we'll get through this. But notice number one here, Christians are to submit to civil authority. We see that in Romans 13. We're to submit to it. Now, how many know a character in your life or somebody you've known that is anti-government? I mean, they just, everything is against the government, right? I don't want to serve. I don't need a permit. I don't need to go get a driver's license. I heard of one guy, he didn't have any of it. You know, there's some characters out there today called constitutionalists, and they get pulled over. You may have heard of these characters. And they go, I don't have a driver's license. I don't believe I need to have insurance. I don't need that. I believe that I need to register this vehicle and pay my money to the government so you can, you know. And there's some of that too. I think about, that is right. But no, we follow the rules, right? Now notice I have a few things here. Letter A, that God appoints and empowers each official. Now I have noticed Daniel 4:25 here. It says there was a time when God sent Nebuchadnezzar out to eat grass for a season. Remember, he literally lost his mind. You remember after Daniel came in and told him all this stuff, revealed him to him a lot of the prophecies? He lost his mind. Notice what it says, though. Till thou know, Daniel 4:25, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So God's in control, right? That's the thing we must understand. So number one, resistance to the authority is resistance to God, and resistance brings judgment. It's true. Letter B, God has them in place to maintain order in society. You've ever traveled outside the United States, maybe, you realize how thankful you are for the police and law enforcement. And we're so grateful. I mean, if somebody came in tonight and shot Brother Tim, hopefully you would fight for me in the judicial system. But you could go and you would have confidence in our judicial system, then you could go up to the highest level and say, hey, this is wrong. That shouldn't have happened. And you think about, but my wife was mentioning to me, I was talking a little bit to her about some of this. She said, again, growing up in Mexico there, that it's scary because nobody cares. The police are scared of the drug cartel. And if they tattletale on the drug cartel will come and kill him and his entire family. So what do the police do? They just sit by and go, oh, well. I mean, their kids are literally being taken off the streets, right? I mean, little girls, 13, 12, 13, stolen, sent right directly where? You know where they're going. Right into sex trafficking. Just taken right off the street. And the police just stand there and go, you know, can't do nothing. You get pulled over and you can bribe them. You can give them money and say, hey, what does it cost to get out of this? You know, that's you just learn to appreciate. Thank God we have law enforcement. Thank God we have that. God put those authorities, again, in place for order in society. Letter C, God calls them his ministers there in verse number 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, to thee for good. I wish more people understood that, you know. I hate police and I hate law enforcement. Well, stop doing stupid stuff, you know. The Bible's very clear. Evil pursues sinners. The more you sin, evil just follows after you like a ball and chain. I mean, it just keeps coming out. Why do bad things keep... I talked to a fella. Why do bad things keep happening to me, Brother Tim? Why? And I try to... Listen, you might want to think about getting rid of some stuff in your life. So God calls them his ministers. Number one, the state has a ministry to civil matters. Two, the church has ministry in spiritual matters. The ministries are separate and intended to remain separate. But God ordained them to complement, underline that, complement each other instead of conflict. It is when they conflict that we must be very careful to discern God's will. Now, we'll look at this in just a minute. But when you're following God's will and God's word, and the government comes, there's almost always some kind of intersection. There's a fork in the road. And you have to decide at that moment, and we'll see it here in point number two of, I must obey God rather than man. Now, when you do cross over the government's way, you're going to face tremendous persecution. You're going to face a tremendous backlash. And we've seen that throughout history. One thing we learn from history is what? We don't learn from history. If you follow the United States of America, we start out, we're coming all the way around and we're coming full circle. Right back. And again, I've said this before, but the United States parallels the nation of Israel so closely. You got to do a study on that sometime. What is the end result of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament? It's captivity. It's complete annihilation and captivity, and they're dispersed, and I mean, it's just terrible. Now, we're going to come back full circle to that. God's hand is not taken off of the United States yet. We know that. Okay, that's clear. So anyways, we must discern God's will. When they do conflict, they are created to complement each other. Letter D, God requires us then to be subject to all laws. Okay, let's flip over to 1 Peter 2 real quick here. 1 Peter 2, because I want you, we read this a few weeks ago, but let's look at it again. 1 Peter 2, I have here verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Just remember, this world is not our home. We're pilgrims just passing through, okay? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now we're going to see here that we are required, again, to follow these ordinances, these rules. This is for the Lord's sake. Again, remember that. Everything you do is for the Lord's sake. And everything we do should be for the Lord's sake. Right? I mean, everything. Would the Lord be pleased in that? This is for the Lord's sake. Why are you doing it? For the Lord's sake, right? Is the Lord pleased? And the way I talk to my wife, is the Lord pleased? And the way I respect the people around me, is the Lord pleased? And the way I handle my children, is the Lord pleased? And what I do with my money, is the Lord pleased? This is to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Notice that, foolish men. These are not only unbelievers, but a lot of them are. It's also saved people that are disobedient to the word. And so they're foolish. This is to put to silence the ignorant men, right? I told you so, right? I knew it wouldn't work. I knew I told you. And again, those Christians that do not follow the rules and the ways, what does the unsaved world see when they look at us? Look at them. They don't follow any of the rules. They're the pompous and proud, a bunch of, whatever. No, they don't follow it. Why would I follow what they follow? And we think about some of that. But again, I just want to emphasize, for the Lord's sake, okay? I can't tell you how many times somebody's asked me this, and fellow pastors and friends, Brother Tim, do you think I should get a permit? And they always ask me that. Brother Tim, do you think I should get a permit? What are you doing? Oh, well, we're thinking of adding a 5,000 square foot addition to the church. Yeah, you probably want to get one of those, you know. And then this other time, well, we'll just put a little doggy door in the back. No, probably don't need a permit for that. But again, what do we need to do? Follow the ordinances of men. I went over the speed limit. I know, oopsie, okay. But there's some serious things about it, right? We got to follow. Number two, now notice what, let's get to this and we'll be done. Christians must obey God when there's the conflict that I talk about. Letter A, God commands us to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the state must not forbid preaching of the gospel. The state is to maintain order and public safety and protect life and property, but stay out of spiritual matters. Letter B, we must continue preaching if forbidden. Acts 5, 28, 29, and we hit on that in our Bible Institute on Monday. Oh, I love that. That was awesome what he went through. Acts 5:28, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So clearly, we are to respect individuals' desires not to hear the gospel. They say, no, thank you. Okay, fine. You know, but we ought to at least attempt it. Attempt. Hey, I want to invite you to church. I'm not religious. I don't do church. Oh, okay. You know. Hey, have you ever thought about where you're going to go when you die? No, I'm not interested. Right? We must respect their desires. Number two, we must obey visitation regulations concerning private homes. We must obey rules at work concerning witnessing on the job. I mean, you want to be a good, godly Christian, but you also don't want to lose your job. I mean, you can't afford that right now. There's discernment and wisdom when you use it. Number four, we must obey solicitation laws against tract distribution. Okay, we know that. And again, our policy here at the church, and I mean, nothing needs to be blasted out, but our policy is there's a no trespassing sign on the gate. We don't go in the gate. We just put it on the gate. If the gate's open or there's no gate, we go up to the door, knock, see if we can, like, who was it? Adelie, I think. She went up and went to knock on the door, and the door came wide open. And she went, scared her to death. But we try to obey all of those things, right? Now, if we are totally forbidden, now here's what's going to happen here very soon in the end. We're totally forbidden to speak or teach about Jesus Christ, then we must obey God and be prepared to suffer whatever consequences man puts upon us. What is it? What will they come and bring? We know it. We studied some of that. Complete forbidding of anything having to do with this book. It's a problem they have. It's this book. They hate this book. They can't stand the book, right? Their book is okay. Their code that they follow, the building codes, that book is almost like God's word to them, right? I mean, you have to follow some code probably at work and workplace. You have something you have to, Brother Adam, probably got to follow a code book and rules and regulations, right? And all, but this book is what, that's what bothers them, okay? That's what's going to be thrown out. And we see this. I have number C, letter C. We must raise our children for God. So again, the question, what about the education of our children? Ephesians 6:4, you know it. I won't read that. We must train our children. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. The state does not own our children. God does. The state may require proper care and education, obviously, and thank God for that. The state may protect them from physical abuse, and thank God for that. But the state must stay out of spiritual matters, okay? We're clear on that. We must obey God with our children, follow the laws as far as possible, maintain education that exceeds state education levels, relocate if necessary. I mean, do all that we're supposed to do, right? Take every measure possible to stay within the laws. If it becomes impossible, within the law to teach our children the ways of God, lead them to Christ for salvation. We must obey God rather than men. By the way, we praise God for so many godly teachers in our public school systems, and we have several schools right around us that are so strong in that area. They're really trying to, it's their mission field, really, these teachers, to reach some of these kids with the gospel. So praise God for them. But I'm just saying, you know, that the law does not own our children, as it does in, my way, communism, socialism. These ideas of how to handle a society are wrong because it takes little kids. Remember what Adolf Hitler said? He said, I'd rather take all the children. Give me all the kids. Why? Because I can indoctrinate them. And by the time they're 12 years old, they will pledge allegiance to me and to this regime. And so that's what they want. Okay? Now let's just close it out here. Baptists believe in civil obedience. We must obey the laws of the land as far as we possibly can. Only if man's law forces us to directly disobey God do we have permission from God to disobey civil authority. Otherwise, we must find ways, notice, to be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Baptists believe that each individual has the right to worship or not to worship God according to the dictates of his own, his or her conscience without interference from the civil authority. So again, very clear and easy to understand. And I hope you follow this as well, but there are inevitably some people out there, some groups that are completely anti-government. And we are not. We are praising God for our country that we live in. We do not agree with a lot that they're doing. We do not follow a lot of what they tell us to do. They're not laws. They're kind of forcible suggestions, if you want to say it that way. We don't follow that. and we face persecution. And I know each of you, as you stand for Christ at work or at school or whatever you are, wherever you are, the grocery store, wherever you go, when you stand for Christ, you're going to face persecution. They're not going to like what you have to say, and they're going to try and shut you down. Now, we've seen this time and time again, and I'd encourage you to do some study and reading up on your both U.S. history and world history, especially as you go through and study the faithful Christians of the past. You will find at the end of each one of their ministries, they faced a tremendous persecution from the people around them. I mean, every one of the most famous people you can think of faced a tremendous backlash. Why? Because they refused to compromise. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to follow that. It goes against what we believe. Anyways, soul liberty and freedom of conscience. Aren't you thankful we have that tonight? Amen. I know you are. And I want to encourage you to keep staying faithful to God. Keep being bold in your witness, bold in your testimony. And the day will come when we will not have a voice at all, at all. They will completely shut us down. But for the time being, we still have that freedom. And praise God we do. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you for listening so well. Again, take these notes with you. Study them. Read it on your own. And look at it. Hope it's a help to you. All right. Lord, thank you for this evening. And often, as I say, I appreciate so much these folks being so faithful. Again, I know, Lord, that they know most of this. Some may not. But I hope it was a help to them and just an encouragement. What a reminder, Father, that this very moment tonight, where we are right now, this very moment in time, there are hundreds of thousands of Christians just like us that are meeting together, but they don't have what we're talking about. The church and state are not separate. They're blended together. Because of that, the Lord, they're meeting in the underground tonight. They're meeting somewhere out in the open, hiding from government authorities and law enforcement that would shut them down. We're so grateful that we have that freedom tonight. May we not take it for granted. Lord, we're so grateful to you for the Word of God. Thank you for the freedom we can enjoy at this juncture in world history. We know there's coming a time very soon that, Lord, it will not no longer have that freedom. And we pray you'd help us as we are here now to do all that we can in this state of freedom. Guide us now, please. Bless the rest of our week. Protect us. Bring us back safely on Sunday, if it be thy will. In Jesus' precious name, amen.